Then I said I was gonna do it. I don't
I
know. Should
guess,
I?
go.
Nah, I'm not ready for it.
Oh God.
I ain't ready for it either.
So what are we just? Are we doing the? Are we like introducing ourselves, or are we trying to come
no,
up
we're,
with
we're,
someone?
We're gonna, we have to make like our first introduction. like what up, guys? This is the
welcome MJ, to the crossroads of liberty.
I think that's professionally good.
Wait, can you go get your girlfriend and do the intro for us?
yo, bro. Honestly.
She's like, I'm like all the way in the parking lot. She's all the way inside watching TV. She was already annoyed that I left. If I go in and I'm like, hey, can you say this? And then leave. Like, is there going to be a way for us to edit this after?
That's our intro. This is
yeah. No, there is a way to edit it after. Is this your friend, Joey?
Oh, yeah. Hi.
Hello.
Hello, friend.
What's up, Canada?
That's me. I'm
honestly,
all of
bro.
Canada in one person.
Honestly, bro.
Quote unquote Socialist Republic of Canada.
That was such
That's
a good
correct.
Intro.
But I don't think Tommy Boy or Canada here is libertarian though. I just didn't want him to be left out.
He's a liberal.
What
he's
is
Canadian.
He?
He's a Canadian.
I'm a liberal cuck. You got me.
He likes it when bulls do his wife.
Nah, bro. Anyway, so who's doing the introduction? Come on, hurry up before it like descends into madness.
Sorry.
Wait.
Intro myself.
You want me to say the? You want me to say the intro again, or do you want me to?
Yeah. Because
Mike
was talking.
Intro. We have the intro. We can cut.
Oh,
the
yo, no, yeah. Because James, isn't your girlfriend doing this?
Because I introed everyone. I introed everyone after we were laughing about it. Him getting his wife. So just cut this part out once we're done recording. We can go into like each other's introductions now.
Oh, okay. So I don't know. Do you want me to start?
Yeah, you're at the top. So why not?
All right. I don't know if I was on the top on everyone else's too, or just mine. All right, so my name's James from Jersey, as I'm guessing everyone in here is, unless Joey's weird friend actually is from Canada. and Cap Gang. It was a kind of a long journey, I guess, to get here. I pretty much was. My dad always called himself an independent, and. He's kind of like a Fox News Republican, but he calls himself an independent. So I never called myself anything. Like in elementary school, kids always call themselves whatever their parents are. So like second grader will be like, I'm a Democrat because that's what my parents are. I was always like, I'm an independent. And then in 10th grade, I found out what a very basic level of libertarianism was. I was like, oh, okay, so. Drugs are legal, people get guns, and cops just, like, fuck off. That sounds awesome. And so I called myself
Very
a libertarian.
True.
What?
Very true.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I called myself a libertarian in, like, 10th grade, and then near the end of senior year, I actually got into a podcast that was... I later found out an anarcho-communist podcast, but they just called themselves an anarchist podcast, like a lot of ANCOMs. They're like, we're the only anarchist. So I kind of like went off of that, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. This is a cool podcast. I didn't agree with everything they said. I liked a lot of their criticisms of government, but their ideas that like everyone is going to sit around and make paintings and play music all day, and everyone's just going to have unlimited food, and no one's going to have to work, and this isn't going to end badly. That didn't make a lot of sense, and then I obviously had an issue with if someone says something you don't like, you just violently assault them. So their criticisms of government were on point, everything else a little wacky for me. So I never became an ANCOM or fully bought into it, but I kind of got into the anarchist movement sympathetic to some of their ideas, and then after that I somehow went back to a like Jeffersonian type of thing, where I bought like the Federalist and the Anti-Federalist papers, and I got really into that kind of stuff. I don't even remember what Instagrammer it is, but there's one of the politogrammers. I don't know if he has any more, but it might have been Refounding Father, where he had that painting, and it was like George Washington with the flag bandana on his face.
Is
I almost
whiskey?
No, his is like a photoshopped one. But there's one, I'm pretty sure was Refounding Father, who had it like, it was like a really well, like light blue painting of, he had all of me, a George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, and maybe someone else. And it was like a painting, and then they had a American flag bandana on. And I almost got that tattoo on my arm. And, okay, good night, Tishu. Luckily, I did it. It was close. I did it.
Good night.
So...
I love you. Leave me alone, Mom.
Oh, okay.
Nope.
T, 5 minutes to bedtime, boys. But anyway, so
no
moms
at bedtimes.
I'm very sorry about that, podcast listener.
Nah, that's basically like the ANCOM motto is like no moms, no bedtime. But anyway, so I got in through that, and then after I graduated is when I started to go towards like the founding fathery type Jeffersonianism. And
when was that?
Like right after I graduated.
But I mean like when?
Oh, 2018, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, bro, yeah.
End of 2017, I'd say. Like, well, it would have been the summer of 2017, actually. So like, yeah, because I graduated 2017 and just a couple months after, so.
God, you're all so young.
August, I'd say.
You don't want to know.
I guess I got some 12-year-olds. I guess it'd be August, I'd say, would be when I went back to like the Jeffersonian type thing, almost got the tattoo. And then just floating around Politigram, you run into a lot of ANCAPs in like the libertarian minarchist side. And they made some cool points. And then I paid a bit closer attention. And that's when I realized that they have the hatred of the state of the ANCOMs, which I liked. And then they have the solid, decent knowledge of economics that the libertarians had. So it was like the best part of the two ideologies that I liked that took out the parts I didn't like. Where libertarians, they want some state that will inevitably expand into a larger one, so I didn't like that. And then ANCOMs with their not great grasp on economics or human nature or just assaulting people they disagree with. So when you get like solid economics along with a true deep hatred for government, it was kind of everything I liked. So that was the point where I started to really do my due diligence and consider myself an ANCAP. And I was meme educated for like 2 months, where that was where I got all of my philosophy and arguments from. And then I was like, this isn't enough. This is where the ANCOMs are at. They just read theory from memes. Just like that thing I posted today where there was some guy who posted on Reddit. There was literally like not reading theory as part of anarchist theory ANCOM. Because yeah,
I saw that.
Part
I
of
saw
ANCOM
that on Reddit.
Theory. Because if you're like too intelligent or like the power shouldn't be held by a intelligent minority. It was basically saying everyone should be dumb and not know anything, because that way no one's above anyone else, which is no hierarchy, which is good in the eye of the ANCOM. So basically, I was looking at that and I was like, no. So I ordered Anatomy of the State by Murray Rothbard, and I picked up Freedom by Adam Kokesh, knocked them both out, and was like, yeah, this shit's pretty watertight. I guess it'd be airtight. Not watertight. Airtight stops water from getting in. But so I was like, yeah, this stuff seems pretty solid. I couldn't really poke any holes in it. And I came from the being informed by ANCOMs. So I was familiar with all their ideas, thoughts, and arguments. And pairing them against the ANCAPs, I was like, it doesn't really have a way to like rebut a huge amount of this. I mean, they do. Like, I've talked to intelligent ANCOMs that understand anarcho-communist theory a little better, but I still think a lot of it kind of falls through. And now I basically just kind of go back and forth between if I'm gonna call myself an ANCAP, if I'm gonna call myself a market anarchist, or if I'm gonna just embrace the crime and just go by agorist. So my actual ideals of how I think society should run and how it would run without a government, all that stuff, that doesn't change, but I kind of float between ANCAP, market anarchist, and agorist, yeah.
Well, they ultimately are the same thing.
Yeah, so, they all end in the same thing. Agorists just want a different way to get there, but they all end the same way.
Yeah. Mm. So I guess, Joey, it's now your turn.
All right, I'm definitely not going to go that in depth because my life isn't that eventful. But
I'm just a nerd that sits inside and scrolls through Instagram. It's not that eventful.
That's all I do too, but like I'm just not good at like expressing myself in that way. But whatever. Anyway, so actually, my parents aren't really that politically motivated. So I got most of my political leanings from my grandmother, who is also a Fox News, you know, Republican.
Oh, those are the best. Does she watch C-SPAN? Does she watch C-SPAN?
Nope, Fox News Republican. That's all she watches for news. Is they're the most honest, and they were voted number one news network in the country. So since probably fourth or fifth grade, whenever Bush was running the second time in 2004 against John Kerry, I think that was John Kerry, wasn't it? I would call myself Republican, you know, government good, you know, military good, and you know, just kept towards that. And then I reached high school, and I was like, probably 10th grade, we had read 1984 in Animal Farm, and 1984 was a huge inspiration on me. Just it opened my eyes more so to like, all right, so maybe this government thing isn't such a good idea, you know. Coming from a democratic socialist that Orwell was, even he admitted that his system has a lot of flaws, and like this is what it could potentially lead to. And I was like, all right, so maybe I'm a libertarian. And my grandma was like, oh, there's this guy named Ron Paul running for president. This was around 2012.
Well, yeah.
And my grandma was like, like, I don't care what you believe in, just, you know, support something. And I was like, all right, so maybe this Ron Paul guy isn't such a crazy guy. And just added on from that, and then I went through like a little fascist phase in like 11th grade just because I didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, that's kind of dumb, that's pretty bogus. And so I went back to libertarianism. My other friend who introduced me to it actually went like full fascist, and he still hasn't come out of that. It's a real pity because he actually knew libertarian better
than you did,
than I did back then. And he actually hit me up the other day, or like a couple months ago, and he tried to like refute Austrian economics. And I was like, how do you do that? Like you're literally asking the government to like take control of your life, and I don't see how that's like helpful to anyone. Basically, you know, classic Keynesian and bullcrap.
Yeah.
So once high school got done, 12th grade, I had actually graduated in January, so I had like 6 months to myself before the new college semester started. And I decided to get Instagram because I was like, all right, I'm free from high school, I've got nothing else to worry about. So I got Instagram, ended up on these anonymous forums, or you know, pages, you know, you know, we will not forget that stuff.
Oh, like the hacker group. Yeah.
And so I was like pretty much a egoist for like a few months, and then because, you know, basically the libertarian centrists, they don't support cops either. So I was like, all right, cops are kind of shit. And then my house got raided. So
no,
wait, no. Yeah. Explain. No.
my house got raided because my mother's friend apparently stole money from some elderly lady with dementia. He like would say that he did work for her and then have her write like blank checks.
Oh.
And so the federal marshals came to my house, pointed a
gun. My life's not interesting.
It's not that interesting, honestly. So this was the day before Thanksgiving. And 2015. And fuck. Jeez, I'm not good at explaining this kind of stuff. House got raided. Cops pointed fucking ARs at my fucking mom's face. You know, pinned her against the wall, threatened to get her fired from her job for having pot. And I was just like, that's bullshit. Because, like, thinking back on it, they never even showed us a warrant or anything else. And they were, you know, holding that threat of getting my mom fired from her state job for her telling them where the guy was who was stealing money. And so we were like hesitant. We were kind of like I don't know if we should, because you know we want to be the good guys and like not rat on someone, yeah. Blah, 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 blah. And so we eventually caved in. My grandma was like, you have to tell them, you're going to get like your whole life ruined over this. And so they did. And then they did, they said, thank you. We already knew where he was. And it was just like, oh, all right. So you knew where he was. And so but you raided our house, like, regardless.
What's the point of that then?
Yeah. Or they didn't. Well, maybe they just didn't know, and they just want. It's like when you don't know the definition of a basic word, and someone's like, "What's this word mean?" And you're like, "You tell me what it means." And like, no, you're the one that doesn't know. It's like, "You tell me what it means." And they tell you, and you're like, "I already knew that." You don't know.
Yeah.
Like they didn't know.
I'm confused. How did we get to Joey telling his story to we talk about people dissing you when you ask them what a word means?
He was just
cops didn't know the guy's location. They didn't actually know it. They were just like, oh, we totally knew.
They said that they were following my mom for weeks, so they obviously should have known by then. Like, unless she somehow like just made a crazy turn and they lost track of her. But you know, I mean, you know, Jersey roads are not that difficult to navigate. So, and so that was it. He got arrested. Blah 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 blah. No one's life got ruined except for his, obviously for stealing, which I'm not going to condone that. So,
I mean, he deserved it probably.
Yeah, yeah. So, teammate just got murdered. In a video game, everyone don't think I'm talking about real life. No one got murdered.
Oh, bro, that's crazy.
March is next month, right?
March is next month.
So, I think it's Joey's friend's turn. Maybe.
Oh, I wasn't done.
Oh, you weren't done. No, no.
He has more of a story, asshole.
Damn, sorry, bro.
So, you know, once that happened, I was like, all right, cops are done. That's the final straw. And I eventually ended up on, like, actual libertarian pages that aren't, like, LARPing as libertarians.
That aren't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're, like,
It wasn't ANCAP Society, because he came, like, 2 years later. I can't remember what page it was, but either way, they introduced me to ANCAPism. Voluntarianism, all the likes. And then I started to listen to the Tom Woods podcast. That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Fairly inspirational, because like you would you know, back when I was still like not really sure about it, I was like, all right, anarchy, that means chaos. And then just this guy, he's like some like this Armenian guy just talking about economics and like not about murdering people, and I was like, all right, that's kind of cool. So and so I ended up also reading Anatomy of the State by Rothbard, eventually listened to Freedom by Kokesh, and then dabbled a little more into the economic side of of voluntarianism. Eventually listened to No Treason Constitution, or The Constitution of No Authority by Lysander Spooner. Yeah, yeah, Spooner was amazing. Like it was just really interesting to think, like, just 160 years ago, there's this guy who went up against the U.S. Post Office. That's, like, that's amazing. Yeah. Like, no regrets whatsoever. And he did better. And, like, that's all we're saying is, like, just allow competition to, like, just happen. Figure it out. But, so yeah, that's basically where I've been. I've kind of, not necessarily, I'm the last one. Okay. So I can't catch crap. So that's basically it. Go ahead. Would you like to say anything?
listen, my name is Nameless, but yes, I'm Tom. I am from Canada. I jokingly like to refer to it as the Socialist Republic of Canada. I was raised in a conservative household. Both my parents are lifelong conservatives, which means something a little bit different than what it does in the States, just because all of Canadian politics are just a little bit more left-leaning. Although the Conservative Party, I believe in 2005, merged with the far right, well, not the far right party, but a farther right party to help get more votes. And so they fill a bit broader of a spectrum. I myself, until fairly recently, I would have said I was a democratic socialist, but as others have pointed out, there's a lot of flaws with that system. And these days I'm kind of arbitrarily wandering the worlds of politics without any real solid knowledge, mostly because the world of politics just kind of depresses me. But that being said, I'm fascinated by many of the smaller facets, especially smaller movements like this one here. And that's it, really. I don't have much else to say. I'll probably be pretty quiet, chiming in every now and again. And if any of you have questions, feel free to shoot them at me.
Sorry to, like, put you on the spot, like, so soon, but being that you are, like, fairly non-politically motivated, that's basically all anarchy is, like, putting forth is, like, just don't involve, like, don't force yourself into other people's lives. And that's basically all the theory is saying, is just let people live their own lives and like, if you want to do something, do it peacefully. So, I mean, you're already pretty much an anarchist. So.
Well, I was going to say, when I was 13 or 14, one of my uncles who lives in Toronto, we went to visit them for a little while. Mm-hmm. And he took me to a concert that he thought, not a concert, but like a sort of indie band playing. And we thought it was going to be really cool, but it turned out to be really boring. However, they had this huge table that just had hundreds of printed pamphlets of various political ideals, or ideas, rather. And I remember I had bought a pamphlet on anarchism because when I was in high school, I was interested in anarchism. I remember my older brother had told me it's ironically, I think the way he worded it was not quite correct, but it's sort of the ideal form of quote-unquote government. Or governing, I guess, would be the correct way of putting it. But yes, I suppose anarchy is probably the closest affiliation I would have. And certainly, there's like a punk rock attitude to it that I like. I know that's very, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, it's watered down when it comes to punk rock and stuff like that. But that would be, like, where it would have started for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got really into punk as well. I mean, when I was 16, I was 17 at the time. I actually saw Bad Religion in concert and stayed at a hotel in North Brunswick. I don't think it was New Brunswick. Might have been New Brunswick. Well, but I stayed in I stayed at a hotel that was probably about 30 minutes away from Starland, maybe 15 minutes. And yeah, it was like a really seedy Motel 6. It was actually a nice motel once you got in. And when I got there, the people almost didn't rent me the room. Even though my parents called ahead of time and they said it was okay. And they were like, since they said it was okay, we'll give it to you. But normally we don't give it to anyone under 21. I was like, well, shit. All
right.
But yeah, so punk definitely has a huge influence on anarchism, or anarchism has a big influence on punk. I mean, there's loads of anarcho-punk bands out there.
Yeah.
But they tend to be the wrong anarchist, and they're the ones that will stab you if they see a patch on your jacket. So
yes.
Watch out.
Well, it's that common misconception that anarchy means chaos when it doesn't mean that at all.
Yeah.
Well, but anyways, that's
there
my
is a constitution to anarchy.
Yes.
What did you say?
Wait.
The NAP.
I mean, yeah, not wrong.
For anyone who doesn't know who NAP is, non-aggression principle.
I'm pretty sure if they're listening to this obscure podcast, they know what it is.
I don't know.
I mean, not everyone.
Yeah, we may convert some people with this.
Yeah,
you know? Spread it.
Who wants to explain what the non-aggression principle is?
Oh, I would love to. It's my favorite thing to talk about.
All right.
Do we want to get through the intros before we get to the...
Yeah. All right, Sean. Sean, go ahead.
It's my turn, ain't it? I'm Sean. I forget what I'm supposed to say here.
Anything. Just talk about yourself.
Oh,
who are you?
How have you become an anarcho-capitalist?
I guess I'm just really an ANCAP. Unlike most people who became like an ANCAP over time, it was July. I was looking on Instagram because I was bored.
July of last year?
2019, yeah.
Yeah.
And so in July I became really politically motivated. For no reason, really, just randomly. And then I was just looking through stuff, found, I think, Bloody Revolutions. And then I instantly became radicalized. Like, no minarchist face. After that, I found about Libertarian Renegade and the Snap Groups, of course. One of the early adopters. Spent most of my money on gear after that. But, you know, yeah, it was a pretty just quick path for me. Like, I really wasn't political before that. Like, I was anti-Donald Trump, but, yeah, that was the most political I got into. I was like, ooh, Trump stinky, and that's it.
Trump stinky. Stinky.
I really wasn't
like
that on a t-shirt.
Make a YouTube video. All those videos of him making like the O with his mouth and like people put other sounds on it. Make Trump go like stinky. Boo. Boopy. Ha ha. Boopy.
There's a cartoon. It's a cartoon of that one chick that was like screaming at Trump's inauguration.
I guess before I was an ANCAP, I was technically a Democrat, but
whoa.
I was also like 13, so
instant
I don't think it counts. I'm the youngest in the group, of course.
Sean's a juggernaut. Wait, you're the youngest?
Yep.
How old are you?
I'm not mentioning it on this podcast. I'll DM you.
So if I killed you, you'd be a spawn kill right now?
I think you're like 15 years too late.
You just gave away your
you fucking
yeah, I know.
I'm not gonna tell anyone how old I am, but I was born 21 years ago.
Don't worry, guys.
A whopping 23.
Yeah, well, I'm the youngest in the Snapchats, at least. That's literally all it is. I wasn't a libertarian. I wasn't a minarchist. No. was a minarchist for a day, and then I saw a Bloody Revolution post on why being a minarchist is dumb.
Okay.
And I was a minarchist for like less than a month, probably maybe a month. It was quick, and then I saw an ANCAP page, and it was like just snap.
I gotta go fast.
Like
acceleration.
Yeah, like basically once my house got raided, it was over.
Yeah. I think I've been like anti-government my entire conscious life.
Yeah.
Like really like, cause like of course I didn't like you know Daddy Trump, but I feel like I'm gonna make a lot of people sad mad by saying that constantly, but like most of my political stuff was. I don't like Trump before I did anything related to this.
That's fine. I don't know many ANCAPs or like legit libertarians that do like Trump, so you're good,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah, like I always say, the only thing I can give him credit for is like the temporary tax cut. That's literally it. But
his first step act was the only thing. It was pretty decent. That's really it for me, though. It was his like mild attempt at prison reform, but it was more prison reform than the last like five presidents have done.
Yeah.
So that's like the one place I'll give him a little props, but that's about it.
Before I was an ANCAP, the only thing I gave him props for was funding NASA, and then I realized taxation's theft, so I don't care anymore. But I was a huge space nerd too, so you know, it'd be like that. So, Zach, I think it's you now.
All right.
Good luck.
Zach, so, I'm Zach. I'm in my teenage years. Then I'm kind of the weird one in the group, though.
We know.
Because I am not the anarcho-capitalist, this podcast. I am the anarcho-primitivist. I know, big game.
You're not,
right?
Honestly, well, how are you on here, you're though? Not a minarchist, so I'll take it.
I'm not a minarchist. I'm an anarcho, but I do think there should be some little bit of, not rules to say, a little bit of social, you know, configuration.
That sounds like minarchism.
Configuration sounds like civilization.
Yo, bro.
All right. What I've believed is, I hate the idea of, well, I started off as a Republican, same as Joey, with my grandma's views. And then I became... What really got me into anarcho, like, capitalism was Mr. Dapperton's video. Have any of you watched his video?
Mm-hmm. I've watched a couple.
He got me into it. And then, like, I had a lot of friends who were, like, conservative political guys. And I told them, I'm an anarcho-capitalist.
Sorry, I just realized that's coming through my mic.
And they're all like, some people actually believe in this shit. And they're all conservatives at the time. They're all like, the government should do anything, but we like Trump, you know? They, like, wore the jeans and red flannels, the hoodies to school and shit. So, then once he got into the anarcho-capitalist phase, I found whiskey, more anarcho-capitalist. I totally hate the government. The government should have no right to come into your house. No one can tell you what speech to say. The taxes are totally illegitimate because I'm more voluntarist too.
Yeah.
And then I saw a video of ANCAPistan, and it like really opened my eyes. I was like, oh shit, what happens if everything, like, there's no infrastructure? But yes, we can solve that in like the economics and stuff. Weapons of like. Something doesn't go right. What happens if people are inherently bad, you know? What happens if they're bad and just a whole bunch of corporations? Yes, I understand there's differences between corporatism and capitalism, but capitalism can turn into corporatism. So I was scared of all the McDonald's and stuff. I could really see no idea away from that. So I decided to go over to primitivism because all of our problems today are because of consumerism, I feel like. And there's a lot of differences today. That's really it. That's where I am. Anarcho-primitivist. People should live in communities and go back to nature. And I believe all attacks on ecosystems are attacks on humanity. just because that's where man came from. I can get more into this, but this is just my intro.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Maybe one day we'll
I'll convert you guys.
No, I was just gonna say you know, maybe you can go more in depth into primitivism and just, you know, we can discuss this. Maybe come to some agreements.
I'm still stuck on I was scared of the McDonald's, and I'm just imagining. I'm making the meme right now, but I'm just imagining like Ronald McDonald doing the Joker scene where he's like, "You get what you fucking deserve."
No, I'm just scared of like just walking down the street and there's gonna be like a barbed wire fence because everyone has a handgun on them, and anyone could just claim, "Oh, self defense," kind of thing. You know, and it's all like there's all industrialized, no trees and shit. That's what I'm afraid of.
So,
but it's a very rare
like
chance.
The Lorax? So are you afraid of the Lorax?
Did I
speak for the anarchists.
Did everyone, any of you ever see the political compass meme? And like in the bottom right, it was just like a McDonald's and it was like a shed just falling apart.
Yeah.
That's what I'm afraid of, but just think of that on a mega scale.
So, like, Somalia.
Yeah, that's pretty much an anarcho-capitalist state right now.
It's really in a civil war.
There's no regulations on what they can sell. The only law of the land is, Islam.
Oonga boonga.
The only rule of the land is you get whatever land you murder the landowners of. It's really
that's
bad over
like
there.
Anarcho-primitive.
Well, you know, at least they're better than South Africa. They're not killing all their farmers, so at least they have food.
I'm pretty sure Somalia is in South Africa.
No.
Somalia's in the fucking southern end of Africa. It's not like Egypt.
The country, South Africa.
Yeah, okay, I guess. Yeah, it's in the southern part of Africa. Okay.
Yeah, Africa's a real shithole.
Oh my god!
Jesus Christ.
Okay, Trump.
Imagine Somalia, but
imagine
McDonald's
Africa
got their, and McDonald's got their hands on it and rented out every building and
Dude,
just put a McDonald's
on
it.
That would probably make the continent better. What do you mean?
Well, have you ever seen that like fake Twitter account? It's like
it's run by McDonald's.
Domino's
Pizza Hut.
Wait,
Domino's Zimbabwe. That's gonna be all of Somalia, but McDonald's Somalia.
Do you guys know about the banana wars? Where Dole like fought down what was it? All the like the city, the countries in South America. Imagine if like McDonald's and Burger King were fighting over land rights of Africa, like colonists back in the day.
Well, wouldn't you think that ought to be happening, even with government? I mean, what's necessarily stopping it? A bigger gun? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, that would make insurgencies impossible. So.
Yo.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, NAP. I'll rip through the nap real quick, I guess.
Welcome back again, Sean.
Yo, Rose, you guys know I'm back. The best part of the podcast.
Back to the NAP. So anyway,
shut up, Johnny.
The non-aggression principle is the idea that it's illegitimate to initiate aggression towards someone or their property. So in an anarcho-capitalist society, the only things that would really be illegal would be things that violate the non-aggression principle, which is pretty much just murder, assault, rape, stealing, fraud, property damage, and trespassing. So it's pretty much the guiding principle.
In a podcast right now.
So it's pretty much the guiding principle for anarcho-capitalism. The idea that you shouldn't initiate aggression, and the only legitimate aggression is in self-defense, and then that's the way that we derive the rest of the society from that is from the non-aggression principle. I tried to keep it simple. You can delve really deep into it if you want, like you own yourself, and then since you own yourself, you own your labor, and then you infuse your labor with resources, which becomes your property, blah blah blah. You can get really deep in. But the basis is basically Leave people alone. Don't hurt people. Don't do something to someone unless they consent.
Don't hurt people and don't take their stuff.
Yeah.
Well, there's also no such thing as retribution, and this is not retribution, revenge, more to say. Like, we don't believe there should be any death penalty unless a crime is occurring at the moment.
I've met a lot of ANCAPs that support the death penalty. I'm not one of them because I'm, again, more of a pacifist, but.
I definitely don't, because
the government has no right. No person has the right to say, "Oh, he should die, but he didn't."
Yeah.
No person has the right to do that to fellow man.
Yeah.
I definitely have pretty much never sponsored like government death penalty. Like, I don't think that in our current justice system. But if someone like killed my family, whether it violates the non-aggression principle or not, I'm probably gonna.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's essentially the blocking approach. That you can do anything, you just have to get punished if you do.
I'm gonna say controversial opinion here, but I think pedophiles should be executed. Just gonna say that.
After acting, or when you find out that they have that their brain's wired that way?
If their brain's wired that way, I understand, but after they've actually acted on their impulses, because everybody has impulses, but not everybody acts on them.
Yeah, I'd be in jail so many times if I did.
Yeah.
not for pedophilia.
You might want to put that into context.
Okay. I have never had pedophilic urges. I've had urges to just assault people sometimes in the non-sexual way, but that's about it.
Is that what you were outside that orphanage the other day?
No, I was out there with the Molotov. Did you miss it?
Oh, yeah, bro.
But I mean, being that most of us are ANCAPs and we support the non-aggression bins what if the child does consent though? Like, I'm being completely honest. What if the child knows about sex? Consent. Okay, what's the age where they?
Well, are we talking about child pornography now?
No, just in general. What's the age that they can consent?
16, like, I'm just talking. We're 15. Well, that
when
age.
When they had their first period.
No. Because there's that girl that got hurt. No,
they're adults now. But their bodies can work. They're
biologically adults, but mentally they are still developing. And if you can't mess with that, because by the time they're 15 or 16, like, their brains are not developing. Like, but by that point, they've developed enough to
I don't think any like 12-year-old girl wants her body pressed up to a fat, hairy old 60-year-old man, all right? So I don't think anyone would.
But it still happens, though, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what I was going to say is psychologically speaking, your brain develops critical thinking skills at about 12 or 13.
Yeah.
So technically, you have the ability to think further than just your impulses and concepts.
I'm still saying, if a 60-year-old man fucks a 13-year-old, I'm shooting him.
Fair enough.
I don't think I can get mad at that.
Because, it might be... I guess it's just my morality coming out, and I ain't trying to impose that on anybody, but
morality. What's that? I only talk about ethics, bro.
I think one of the big things that people kind of forget about whenever people bring up these hypotheticals about anarcho-capitalists, obviously, like, the whole pedophile thing is one, the owning child slaves is one. That one is literally impossible, though, because obviously you can't own another person, violates the non-aggression principle.
Yeah.
But anyway, people just disregard. I had one person ask me, like, what if they were like, oh, there was a in San Francisco back in like the 60s or 70s or something, it was legal to walk around naked, and someone was like, what stopped this from happening in an anarcho-capitalist society? And I was like, well, I think people don't, because each individual property owner is gonna have his own policies on that, so it's gonna be really inconvenient, and you're gonna have to work really hard to be naked in public. And then you also have to work on the fact that there is still a society, there's still a culture, and if that culture is, I guess we're not going to use the word moral, but if that culture is against basic stuff like being naked in front of children or pedophilia or all this other stuff, then chances are the culture is going to sort that stuff out and the society is going to sort that stuff out, not with law, not with the non-aggression principle. It's just going to be shame and common sense that's going to stop a lot of this stuff. And then the other way to look at it is, even with this, like people say, like, oh, you need a government to prevent this stuff. Well, we have a government. And if you look at, like, I'm not going to say like any particular movements, but there's a lot of stuff going on where pedophilia is being normalized through multiple avenues. And we currently have the strongest government in world's history. So society has a bigger impact on pedophilia being acceptable than just whether you get, whether you're legally held accountable or not. If the society accepts it, it doesn't matter if you have a government, because when everyone thinks pedophilia is okay, like is starting to happen here, it's going to get legalized. And then your government doesn't matter because it's not going to stop it. Yeah, and then if you have a society where there's no government and there's no tolerance for it, like I'm sure Somalia, where they had like the Islamo regime, where it was just like there wasn't really a government, it was just like a Muslim chief. If he came and was like, hey, there was this like pedophile guy, probably wouldn't go too well. Because the culture doesn't accept it. So I think that's a big like skip that people like make.
Yeah, because just because there's no government doesn't mean everybody starts acting retarded. No offense to actual autistic people. I'm just using that, like, you know. I'm going to stop talking.
Say again?
Just because there's no government doesn't mean people are going to start acting all, like, wacky-dacky. Like I wouldn't do drugs today, but if the government legalized them, I still wouldn't do them tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just not interested in them. But I want them to be
legalized. I like some of them.
Of course you do, James.
What's that supposed to mean? Are you assuming drug preferences?
I ain't seen none. But the culture doesn't just go away immediately after the government's away, and it's not gonna go away for a long time. The cultures change anyway. The government's not gonna prevent
until
that from
the
changing.
Race is mixed.
Definitely, bro.
What did you say? What did you say?
Until the races mix.
Oh, no, bro. Shut up.
Oh,
no,
God.
No.
Oh, I don't like that at all.
No, bro.
We said we were going to do this.
He didn't say the word.
Bro, we...
I had a little too much. I had a little too much.
To what? Think?
To drink.
Bro, the white nationalist is coming out. Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no.
He's gonna start quoting crime statistics.
Oh crap. He's in a hoppe. He's coming
out.
What
is 13%
of
the pop?
60%.
Oh boy, what have I done?
Riddle me this, Batman.
Anyway,
oh no.
That's
anyway.
Only 13% of the population. Why do you.
All right. Stop.
Creeping towards Ben Shapiro.
Oh yeah, I used to be in the Ben Shapiro at a point.
Where is it?
Actually, you're wrong, because we should all die for Israel.
Actually,
oh my God.
Who else is going to be the policeman of the world?
Why not police woman? Whoa. That's pretty sexist.
Why not the actual term? Executioner.
Yeah. Dog killer.
Yo, speaking of Israel though, what's y'all's opinion on that, huh?
Well, not a fan.
What's your opinion on New Israel, New Jersey?
New Israel.
What the fuck?
Bro.
What?
I'm fine with Jewish people. I'm not fine with the Jewish state.
Yeah, I support Palestine.
I don't know. Palestine's still a nation.
I support
Palestine
the Giza
was
Strip.
Literally just a culture. Like, it was literally, like, it had no nation.
Well, I have support for the people that are in an open-air prison being constantly bombed by an extremely strong Israeli military. If that works better than saying I support Palestine. Obviously, I don't support, like, I'm not like, oh, yay, whatever they have that's close to a government. No, I'm not saying I condone a government. But I'm saying that like, whenever it comes down to what side are you on, Israel versus Palestine, I'm on the side of Palestine.
Yeah, 100%.
Obviously, yeah.
Obviously not Hezbollah or any of that, but just Palestine.
Hezbollah. I love watching the ISIS videos.
Of course you do.
I'm lucky.
Jesus Christ. What was I going to say? So did you guys see that new sex tape with Caitlyn Bennett?
What?
No, we're not talking about this. No.
Wait, since we're talking about
called a USS Liberty. Look it up.
Oh, no, yeah, USS Liberty. That's my favorite.
Since we're talking about Israel, did you see how they killed the Palestinian with the, what's it called? The forklift?
What?
The forklift. They ran a dude over with a forklift and picked his body up and brought him back to Israel.
That's disgusting.
I constantly see, there's this page that you can follow on Facebook called If Americans Knew, and it's basically all focused around this kind of stuff. So, like, every day on Facebook, I see, like, oh, Israeli soldier shoots teenager in the knee for waving Palestinian flag 50 feet away from the border wall. Just the other day, an Israeli soldier shot a 14-year-old Palestinian kid in the eye, and he was in the hospital.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, it's honestly disgusting. Like I was just on Two Savage for Sadists' page, and they brought up the AC-130 footage from, I think it was Afghanistan.
Right. Are they just fucking them up?
That too. Where it was the Julian Assange like leak, and like just watching that and like how smug they are about killing just fucking people in general. Like that's just that honestly just pulled my heartstrings. Like,
can you send a link into the Discord of that? I want to watch that.
Sure. Give me one sec. I'm in the middle of a game. Since you know, like, libertarians are all gamers and fat boys, so.
I actually just saw one thing today that my friend sent me, and so I guess the State of Israel has an actual Instagram page, called State of Israel, and it's a legit page, 316,000 followers. It's like a real thing.
Can't be.
And their story, they had. What type of Israelis would you like to meet? And there's stuff like chefs, all types, soldiers. And someone sent dancing Israelis, and they posted it with a picture of a ballerina and a little, like, rainbow dancing pigeon. They clearly didn't get the reference. It's, like, on the State of Israel actual page is dancing Israelis.
I'm looking at the Instagram right now. Israel is like a beautiful
click
place.
On their story and go like
just
3
compare this to Tel Aviv. Compare this to Tel Aviv. You can see what a pile of shit Tel Aviv is.
It's the gayest city on earth.
If you like that, bro.
That's not even an insult. There's been a lot of articles coming out that said Tel Aviv is the gayest place on earth.
I wouldn't doubt it, honestly.
All the gay Israelis are going back to Tel Aviv.
So, what do you guys think about the Soleimani drone strike?
I don't think we should have done it.
Yeah, neither do I.
I don't think we should have done
it. It just created tension.
Yeah.
I mean, considering he was actually there for fucking peace talks with, like, ISIS and all that, so, like, they would not cut that, or so they wouldn't, like, keep advancing.
Have you guys heard of the,
Actually, it brought peace, guys. Like, you know, we're doing the world a favor. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying Soleimani was a great guy. Obviously not. But, like, know when to fucking strike.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, like, there's different, since it's not the same exact government system over there, there's different predictions on what he would be. But he's either would be, like, the top general of our military, or he'd be, like, Mike Pence. So imagine if they did that to us when they didn't specifically do anything, And imagine what America would do in return. Like, it would just be, our response would be absolutely insane compared to what their response was, which was bombing an airbase that was mostly empty. And we really had no reason to do that. And then some people are like, oh, well, he was a bad guy. He did bad things. He was like a blood-soaked monster. Like, well, guess what? All of our politicians are too.
Every single president, every politician.
Yeah, yeah, all of our politicians are monsters too. So if you're gonna say that,
drone strikes and Trump was for drone strikes. Do you remember Obama kids with his drone strikes?
I remember when he had his press secretary lie for 2 years saying we didn't have a drone program, and then people kept sending pictures of drones that looked like they were taken on TI calculators and sending them back and being like, hey, this is an American drone. They're like, nah, it's not. They just painted something. They just painted a flag on, bro. I mean, obviously. And then it was like, oh no, Obama was just blowing up children for ages.
Yo, why does this say U.S. Air Force on it?
But have you guys heard about the white hat conspiracy?
The what?
The white hat conspiracy.
No.
The white hat conspiracy?
Or the white helmet conspiracy?
That they're not all familiar. Racist actors and stuff.
But that, how are they doing that like, thing? Therefore, Hezbollah. All these bombings happen is because they're trying to get rid of Iran's leader. What's his name? I can never remember names.
I can't remember. Like I'm.
Let's look it up.
Yeah. But he kept on bombing. Every time Trump needed to go to Iraq, or like any president needed to go to Iraq, there's all these gas attacks. Now we're hitting cities, and they're saying it's because of the leader because he hosts some terrorist organization.
Well, the Syrian one was bullshit.
Hassan Rouhani.
Yeah.
Then how would it be Syria? Then yeah, probably was Syria. I think it was the sarin gas attack.
Yeah, they said there was a gas attack. They said Assad did a gas attack, but and then some people like Dave Smith and Scott Horton on day one said, no, this is bullshit. This is a false flag. And it just came out a couple months ago. There was like an official international report that said that it was not true and there actually was not a gas attack.
Oh, I never heard about that.
Yeah, look into it.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, Google like a Syria gas attack fraud or hoax or something like that. It's been actually proven that that wasn't true.
Wait, you're trusting like national reports?
No, I'm not trusting them because they're national reports. I'm trusting them because people that have called shit right, like Scott Horton for decades, said like it didn't really make any sense. Like the incentives weren't in line for him to just gas a bunch of his own people for no reason. Yeah. Because he had a bunch of people that were about to pounce
and everyone
on him.
Likes him there too. Everyone likes him. They like rally in the street, hold his head up and shit.
Yeah, and he just had like a peace treaty laid out. He just got America and some other countries off his back that were really gunning for him. And he just got everything calmed down. So why would he be like, oh, now's the time to gas my own people?
Yeah.
But the U.S. needed a reason to go there, so they blew him out. Or blot out.
Stay there, you mean? Stay there. We were already there. It's not like we went anywhere.
It's never blow out a city. It's always blotted out city. Like good old World War II days.
You need oil, bro.
Yeah, bro. We need fucking, that from Syria,
Yeah, bro.
God damn, dude.
Why doesn't anyone use North Africa's oil anymore?
I don't know.
Too scary.
Too spoopy.
Wait, North Africa has oil?
Yeah, shit.
Yeah.
Wars were fought. World War One was pretty much fought over it.
Honestly, I just don't care about oil.
I mean, at least like the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. More,
we got any other topics?
I think this has been pretty good. We're at about an hour. I think that's a pretty typical podcast.
We've been talking for an hour? Wow.
It's close. It's 9:18. Yeah. We started probably around 8:15, 8:20.
Yeah.
Wow. And we already had a special guest.
Yeah.
My good
Canadian.
Friend, my good Canadian. Friend, yeah.
Who has said almost nothing for this entire podcast. I apologize.
You said
no, you said stuff.
Yeah.
This reminds me. This reminds me. Did you hear the governor has a tumor?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He got
tumor
yeah.
on his big, liver, big sad right now. Nah. Press F in chat.
Yo, let's look this article up one sec.
Did you like what I sent to the group chat?
Yeah, bro. Governor Phil collateral murder. That yeah. He has a tumor this, on his kidney.
This pleases the anti-tax man.
Hey, forever. Whoever was doing like the recording,
Bob Ross.
That's the part we have to cut out.
Yeah.
How's it going?
I know.
You're fighting another war?
Let's see.
You said you weren't gonna fight.
No.
Let's see. So, apparently, there's a tumor on his kidney.
Oh, shame.
But you don't need those.
But I'm sure he'll get the
what a shame.
The best...
What a shame.
But I'm sure he'll get the best health care while we're, you know, dying in the street, struggling to pay for bills.
Don't worry.
Capitalism.
Yeah,
definitely, bro. Definitely.
You don't have a right to fucking.
Don't worry, bro. I'll donate my kidneys to him.
Yeah, me too.
Bro, he can have all of our kidneys.
What do you guys think about the socialist and capitalist claim that like donations and charities disprove capitalism?
What?
Absolutely not. Are you kidding me? Charity organizations? How they? I don't know. It's hard to. There are so many charities and there's so many sort of organizations, but most of them, rather than allocating their resources to actually doing something,
yeah.
they do what is known as spreading awareness. Just look at the Pink Ribbon Breast Cancer Company. They don't actually donate that much of their proceedings to cancer research. They do most of it to their own awareness programs. And of course, the CEO lives in a gigantic mansion somewhere in the States, I believe, which if all their money was going towards cancer research, that specifically breast cancer research, that would not be the case, would it?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
No, charities definitely do not. Certainly charities are nice little, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know, a point in humanity's favor where it's like, oh, look, people do actually want to try and make the world a better place. But unfortunately, most of us are misinformed on how to do that. And for the most part, large scale charities are not generally great at it. I mean, I'm sure there are good ones out there, but I mean.
Yeah, but you guys.
Yeah, well, there's actually, this is averages. So you have to look, I mean, the government one isn't average because we have data to back it up. But for like public charities, or I guess they'd actually be private charities, there's actually a statistic from that I saw a couple months ago. When it comes to government charities like welfare, something like 70 cents of every dollar that goes to it gets absorbed into overhead and government bureaucracy. Only 15% of the money that's actually taken from taxes to go to food stamps, Medicare, welfare, actually go to the people that need it. Whereas with private charities, that 30% is what goes to the private charity, what goes to overhead, and then the rest goes to the people that it's supposed to go to, because they're a lot more efficient with their resources due to market competition and private incentives and other things like that. Ron Paul even made that argument in his book, The Revolution, where a lot of people that have become less charitable, you ask them why, and they're like, oh, I do my part, I pay my taxes. So if you get rid of that, people are probably, one, they're going to have 40% more of their money because it's not being stolen.
Yeah.
So they'll have more money to toss around. Like, whenever I get some free money, I tend to look around on like Kickstarter or GoFundMe, and I look at something where I can toss a few bucks someone's way. I've donated some money to Wikipedia when they ask. Like, I do try to toss money around a little bit when I have it. And if I had more, I would love to do it more. And then on top of that, you're going to have people that are probably going to see all this misfortune. And instead of thinking, oh, man, instead of just saying, man, I give the government all my money, they should do something about this. They would think, man, I have a lot more money. I should do something about this.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you can also write off charity.
That's true too. Yeah, there's actually one company that relates to, because the one podcast I've been listening to the most, other than Dave Smith, is the Peaceful Treason podcast, and I really like it. It's really cool. They're about to do an analysis where they do, as unbiased as possible, analysis, a bunch of episodes on all the different strains of anarchism. So they're going to cover like agorism, mutualism, anarcho-feminism, queer anarchism, anarcho-syndicalism, egoism, anarcho-communism, anarcho-capitalism, like all this stuff, and just do like the unbiased report that on all of them they can. So it's a pretty cool podcast. They actually talked about something that I really think is a really good idea. It's a company called We Do Better. So it's like wedobetter.com.
Sounds familiar, yeah.
And it's actually a company, and they work with a bunch of other really good charities. And what you do is you can send money their way and send the maximum amount that you can write off on your taxes to get it back. But you can actually, what they recommend doing, because what this company does, We Do Better, is they're basically private companies that provide government services better than the government. So one example, the main one they mentioned in the podcast, is there's one charity they work with that helps find missing kids. And their rate of actually finding them is like 90% higher than the government or some absurd number like that.
That's like Chris Hansen. Chris Hansen has caught more pedophiles than the federal government has.
Yeah. So it's a similar thing to that, where they go out and they find these missing kids. And so what they recommended with the podcast is they said, give as much tax deductible. I mean, you can give more. But the point that they said is that it's like agorism in a way. Give as much taxable income as you can, or as much tax deductible income you can, to this charity, and then get that money back from the state. And that is basically, you're almost paying for the private services the government offers that we would want in Capistan. So all these services, you're paying for them to be done privately, and then taking that money away from the government.
In Capistan, McDonald's.